Well, there's some interesting references. If you go to the book of Revelation, please, it's good to look around the scriptures and link things up. Revelation, and we want chapter 1 and then chapter 5. Chapter 1, first, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. This is John being instructed. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. That's for the millennium. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here it is, you see. He loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hosea loved his wife Gomer and won her back by right of purchase at a half price. Now go to chapter 5 in the same book, Revelation 5. Look at verse 9. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Here's the worshipping community in heaven. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." Redeemed us. So there you have. Bought, redeemed, at a price, ransomed, restored, healed, forgiven, as the hymn says, being set free from the slave market by right of purchase. The whole emphasis is this. When do you think what our destiny would be without Christ?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We're his by right of purchase. Yeah.
The redemption through the...
Right through the New Testament, yeah.
Bought.
Yeah,
adopted. I mean,
right through. Couldn't be mistaken. The fourth one is fairly similar. Is ex agorazo. Put ex in front. Now, ex means out of. We get the word exit. Ek, actually. Ek in Revelation 3:10. It means taken out from something. Revelation 3:10, if you'd like to be there again. Revelation 3:10. This is very interesting. Something we can prove, a pre-tribulation rapture, among other scriptures in the New Testament letters, in the book of Revelation also. Revelation 3 and verse 10. This is his message to the last faithful evangelical church before he comes in prophetic type. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial," which is a great tribulation, "which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I will keep you from it." I will give you a quick exit. Ek is the word. From there is the Greek word ek. I'll take you out of, from the world which is going to be experienced in the Great Tribulation. We should be taken out from it before it starts. So the emphasis here is to be taken out of something which you might have richly deserved, not only the Great Tribulation, but the lake of fire as well. I'll go back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Here's a good summary of this. Galatians 3 verse 13. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Jesus took the curse. The curse was established at the fall of Adam, when the earth was cursed, weeds and thorns and thistles, and having to work hard. That was God's curse on the earth at the fall. The trees praised the crucifixion. It was a tree, in fact. It was a tree. Often the Romans used to cut down trees, leave the root in, and put a cross piece just above it and crucify a person on the tree. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law and become a curse for us. So he took that himself, you see. So, moving on from those wonderful four words which teach on redemption, purchase price, ransom price, so on. Well, now, going back to Ruth, please, if you will, back to Ruth again. So now, Ruth, of course, then becomes the wife of Boaz, as you know well. And she, being now the wife of a very wealthy man, a man of renown, a man of high recommendation, people looked up to Boaz, man of highest honor, and she now becomes his bride. Now think of our being once called to be the bride of Christ. We've been raised up to a highest place of honor eventually when we're taken up to Christ. We will be in the highest place of honor and dignity. We should be the queen. I've just written an article for the Prophetic Witness magazine from Psalm 45 about being the queen. Wonderful. Psalm 45, that is.
Never heard that before, Don.
Oh, yeah. So let's look at some of the reference in the New Testament to prove that. Let's go first of all to 2 Corinthians. Keep a note in Ruth here, if you will. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. This is Paul's jealousy guarding real pastor's heart for the church at Corinth, which is a really wayward church, as you know. And he says to them, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, pure and holy, ready for marriage to the Lamb." 2 Corinthians 11:2. Now go on to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 to 27. Husbands and wives, initially. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, that means make it holy, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That simply means when you read the scriptures, it has a cleansing effect, has a renewing effect on you as you read it. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without. That's what we will be one day. Now go on to the very last book of the Bible again, Revelation 19 this time. Revelation 19, marriage of the Lamb with the bride. Revelation 19, let's read 7 to 9. Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed or clothed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Verse 9, "Then he said to me," Jesus speaking to John the apostle, "write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." What a glorious future we've got. Great celebration there. So let's think about, just finalizing it now, our position in the Lord. Regarding as we are part of the true church, redeemed, saved by the precious blood, and our relationship to him. Well, first thing is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We are called to be partakers of his divine nature. Now, we don't become gods, but we become sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, please. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Glorious promises these are. Let's read verse 3 and 4 as well, but the first 4, but 3 as well. "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain or relate to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly," can you measure that word? "Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust." Partakers of divine, we're sons and daughters, born again of the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in you as believers, born again.
Thank
you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a glorious promise. Partakers of the divine nature lives in you. You don't become God, you become sons and daughters, I said. Wonderful that is.
Why would he want to live in me?
Pardon?
Why would he want to live in me?
Because he wants to make you like himself. And all of us need to. Absolutely right. Second thing.
Churches like us to be his sons and
amen.
Of God. For his name's sake.
Yeah. Not only be a partaker of his nature, but also he wants us to share his joy. He wants us to share his joy. Joy of God in your life and in mine. Let's look, let's go to Matthew's Gospel. It's where we're picking up these scriptures. Just a few more minutes. Matthew chapter 25. It's the reward to faithful service. Matthew 25 and verse 21. It's the parable of the talents, as you well know. And what did the Lord say to the faithful servants who are faithful serving him? Matthew 25, verse 21. This is in the parable, of course. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. Mm. That is a promise to faithful servants of the Lord. Now go a bit further on to John's Gospel, chapter 15. And look at verse 11. John 15, verse 11. This is about abiding in the true vine. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." His joy remain in us. Not fluctuation. His joy to remain in us. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength, as Nehemiah says. Same letter, chapter 17, same gospel, chapter 17, and verse 13. Chapter 17, verse 13. This is this glorious prayer. This is the Lord's prayer, of course, talking to his Father. But now he says to his Father, "I come to you. These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." That's his own disciples and us. "That they may have the joy in themselves, fulfilled in them."
So verse 13, the Lord speaking to the Father, yeah?
Yes. Mm. And he's praying for us, of course, as you realize. This is his desire for you and I. Absolutely right. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord. Of course, when we're saved and redeemed, we know where we're going. That is joy in itself, isn't it? When you think about it. Back to the later letters, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 8. And this is lovely, this is. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. This is about the Lord Jesus. And he says at the end of verse 7 that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes for us, whom having not seen, you love. But now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy inexpressible, we haven't got words to express it. It's far too much. But the joy is there, and we can rejoice in joy. That's how it is. That's the second one. The third one, we've looked at it as in Ruth, the heirs of his inheritance. Now, there are some important scriptures here I'd like to share with you. Inheritance. It's not just a property, it's a position that we have as sons and daughters. Yes, we should inherit heaven, we should be there, we should have a mansion, as John 14 says. But the first one is in a psalm, believe it or not. So go back to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Time is going on, won't be long. Psalm 47. And the verse he wants is the first part of verse 4. Psalm 47, not John 47. Psalm 47, verse 4. The first part of verse 4. "He will choose our inheritance for us." How about that? That's a promise. Now go into the New Testament to Acts 20 again. Acts 20. Yes, he chooses our inheritance for us. Hallelujah. We wouldn't know how to choose, would we? Because we don't know.
You said we'd get to know the Bible, don't you?
Acts 20 and verse 32. Again, this is Paul talking to the elders in Ephesus. You won't see them again. Acts 20, verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." That's a wonderful verse, you know. Commended to God, to the word of his grace, who can build us up, the word does build us up, and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. All set apart for the Lord. Wonderful that, isn't it? Now go on to Ephesians once again, where we were before. Ephesians 1 again.
Salvation, do all these verses, don't you?
Well, they don't read them, do they?
They can't
read them. Can't read them, or they'll be mistaught. Mm. Need to check them out like a good Berean. Yeah. Ephesians 1, then chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Let me go on to 14 and 18. 10 and 11, glorious letter, this Ephesians. In the dispensation of the fullness of the times, that's right at the end, when he comes forth, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, there are many believers there, and which are on the earth, us, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to Christ's own will, which you read before. And obtain an inheritance. Go down to verse 14. It's about the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee or down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the person's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. We've got a down payment of promise right now. We've got a bit of the inheritance by promise because we belong to him, we're in Christ. But there's a time coming when it's fully realized. Verse 18, this again is Paul's prayer, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, we read this before, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You're his inheritance. He's coming to live in us. Yes, we live in him, but he lives in us. Wonderful that. The letter to the Colossians is very similar. If you go over to Colossians 1 and verse 12, very similar. They're similar letters, actually. Colossians 1, verse 12. To give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's qualified us because he's bought us. We're his by right of ransom, purchased possession. We're partakers, so therefore of the inheritance of himself. And we're joint heirs with Christ. He's got half, we've got half. Oh, isn't that fantastic? Romans 8, that is. Romans 8, 17 it is. So we have an inheritance of heaven. We have the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven on the earth, the millennium, which is a reward for being faithful. What encouragement to be faithful? The joy of the Lord, a glorious inheritance, partakers of his nature, sharing in his joy. Wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. And while we're in Colossians, look in chapter 3 and verse 24. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures, but we've got to use scripture to back up what we're saying. Colossians chapter 3, this is, and the 24th verse. Colossians 3, 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
Is that the millennium? Is that for our faith?
Yes, yes. You will receive the reward. Salvation is not a reward. You can't earn it. But you can earn rewards in faithful service, for you serve the Lord Christ. Wonderful that, isn't it? Hebrews 9. Let me sum it all up. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. Hebrews 9. And verse 15, this speaks about Christ being the mediator, of one who is acting between the Father and us. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant law, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Yes. That's heaven, one thing. Mm-hmm. Your heavenly inheritance. Those who are called may receive the promise. It's a down payment by promise. It's going to come. Wonderful, isn't it? And the fourth one is we're going to be with him in glory.
Hallelujah.
That's John 17:22. It's all there. So, finishing up, Ruth marries Boaz. And in a sense, spiritually speaking, it symbolizes our union and future marriage with Christ. Now, if you're in Hebrews, here is something glorious. Go to chapter 12. You come nearly to an end. Hebrews chapter 12. And verses 22 to 24. This is again a wonderful promise of eternal security.
Sorry, John, what was that again? Sorry.
Hebrews 12,
yeah.
Verses 22 to 24. I'll read them. You've come to Mount Zion, not Mount Moriah, that's terrifying. Earlier verse 21. You've come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. Church and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Your name's there. Your name's on your mansion door. How about that? To God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. One day we will be perfect. Now, glorious, isn't it? So Boaz and Ruth lived in Bethlehem, which of course is the birthplace of Jesus in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Thou Bethlehem of Ephratah, that's the area, two Bethlehems in Israel, one in the north, one south. Bethlehem of Ephratah, birthplace of Jesus, out of you will come one who is called. So wonderful thing is, as we look at, finally, and go back to the end of Ruth, and just see a bit of genealogy here. It's also in Matthew 1, we look at that to finish off. The end of Ruth. Look from verse 17 to the end. You can see the genealogy here. 17 says, the son born to Naomi. Well, that's a levirate marriage. She became the grandmother, but is given to in the name of the son, Mahlon. And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, father of David, who's a grandfather. You've got the genealogy here. You go to verse 21. Solomon begat Boaz. Solomon married Rahab. That's in Solomon begat Boaz. So Rahab was the mother of Boaz, of the harlot in Jericho. Was the mother of Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. There we have it. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now looking at all the genealogies here, Rahab was a great-great-grandmother of David. And all in line, of course, to Jesus. Ruth gave us the great Redeemer long generations ago. We see the significance of the shoe now. Ruth gave us a great Redeemer, Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Let's look finally, Matthew 1, 5 and 6, and see the genealogy. Matthew 1, 5 and 6. Matthew 1, 5 and 6, similar to the end of Ruth 4. Solomon, who married Rahab, begot Boaz by Ruth, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And all the way down, eventually to Jesus. All those generations ago. So you have in the lineage of Jesus two Gentiles. Rahab, Gentile blood in Jesus. No wonder he loves us. Amen to that.
Amen.
So the significance of the shoe had to be. That's the way it worked out in the Lord's planning.
Oh,
yeah, right there. That's right.
So encouraging.
And yet, you see, the blood was not through the man.
No.
So sin was not transferred. Well, let's just pray as we close, shall we? Father, thank you so much for the richness of your word. All the promises that it contains, that we looked at only some tonight. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the riches of her glory, the promise of a glorious inheritance, reigning with you, being with you forever, redeemed by your precious blood, what a cost. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of our worship. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thou art worthy, O Lord. To receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast redeemed all things thou hast created. Thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Well, according to this recording, I'm supposed to tap finish, but there's nothing on the screen. Pardon? I will turn it on again.